RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, as NASCAR hits its West Coast road trip starting this weekend in Las Vegas. The next three weekends are all out west, starting today at Vegas. Then they're off to Phoenix and then Fontana, California, the Auto Club Speedway for the next 3 weeks. Always a interesting stretch of the season, as really now you start to get into the grind of things and we really start to see which teams are the top performers this year. You get Daytona out of the way. That's always kind of a wild card race. Atlanta was a fun race last week, but a rough mile and a half track, so not really fitting in to some of the other mile and a half tracks we see later in the season. But this West Coast road trip really starts to shape the early regular season and maybe just a few of the drivers that are going to be playoff favorites here in the 2018 season. That's what we have to look forward to today. Today's Pennzoil 400, which you can hear live right here on WGR. We're going to have live coverage courtesy of our friends at the Performance Racing Network. Pre-race coverage starts at 2:30. Doug Rice and company will have the call with Green Flag about 3:45 today. Pre-race festivities about 3:30, so be sure to be tuning in later today to catch all the flag-to-flag action of the Pennzoil 400. Coming up on today's edition of Fast Track, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Nate Ryan from NBC Sports, one of the great folks that covers NASCAR for the Peacock Network, and Nate is one of our all-time favorites here on Fast Track. We'll get his perspective on things here two races into the season. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, it's kind of a tradition on the show, but coming out of Speed Weeks and early on the season, we like to check in with Michael Printup from Watkins Glen International, get some thoughts on the off-season there at the Glen as they're waiting for the snow to melt too, and they're set to open things up in about a month over there at the Glen, so we'll talk to Michael. They've had a lot of interesting news this offseason. New title sponsor for the Cup race, IndyCar not returning this year, and they just announced a big event this week too. So we'll talk to Michael Printup, the West Seneca native, at the bottom of the hour. But right now, phone lines are open for you, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Anything in the world of motorsports going on that you want to talk about, feel free to chime in. Your thought to the start of the NASCAR season. How about the struggles for the Chevrolet camp so far, minus the win by Austin Dillon at Daytona, but just the lackluster performance, especially last week at Atlanta for the Chevys, especially the Hendrick cars here struggling out of the gate. Jimmy Johnson struggling with back-to-back crashes here in the first two races of the season. Anything else? The surprise performance maybe by the Ford so far here in 2018 you want to talk about? Phone lines are open for you again, 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. And we're on Twitter, of course. You can tweet us at FastTrack550. And we're on Facebook, too, facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. For the race today, it is all Fords at the front of the field as Ryan Blaney gets the third career pole. Your driver that currently sits second in the NASCAR Cup Series point standings, young Ryan Blaney, in the 12 car for Penske Racing, of course, this year. I love the paint scheme he's got today, by the way. The almost like a neon yellow with white and silver with the number 12 and a big Pennzoil logo on the hood. That car looks sharp today with the Menards on the side. If you didn't see it, actually, I tweeted it out this morning when I was promoting the show on Twitter, but I like the look of Blaney's car today, and he is on the pole for the third time in his career. as he is off to a great start so far here in 2018. Kevin Harvick, of course, got the win last weekend in Atlanta, and Harv just dominated the weekend down there in the ATL, winning both Xfinity and Cup Series races last week. He is a monster, of course, on the mile and a half tracks, and he will start outside of that front row. His teammate, Kurt Busch, will be inside of row number two, so Fords take the top three spots. Then it's your defending series champion, Martin Truex. He rolls off fourth today. No surprise there. Truex always so good on the mile and a half track. So is Kyle Larson. He starts fifth. Same story with Chase Elliott leading the Hendrick contingent from sixth today. Then you got a couple more Fords in row four, Stenhouse and Keselowski. And then you got the Toyota of Erik Jones and points leader Joey Logano, who is looking to get his first win since the almost a year now, since the spring of last year. He starts 10th today. Other notable names in the lineup, row seven features Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. William Byron rolls off 17th today. Denny Hamlin in 19th. And Ryan Newman started in the front row last week at Atlanta, but a different mile and a half track this week. Newman not so well in qualifying. He'll start 25th today. Bubba Wallace starts 26th. And that kind of does it for notable names in the starting lineup for today's Pennzoil 400 there at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And again, race number three. I was just driving over this. Couldn't believe we're already three races. We're already on to race three of the season. It feels like we're just gearing up for Daytona, but quickly these Sundays are rolling off very quickly. But two couple of races in, and obviously it's just 2 weeks. It's not, you know, it's still a long way to go. But you do get a few interesting things to look at through the first two races. Again, I'm impressed with the Fords. You thought the Toyotas were going to dominate last week at Atlanta with a mile and a half track, but it was the Fords up front with Harvick winning the race. The Penske cars, of course, running up front last week, too. And they are really off to a good start. I'm glad to see. I like the parity between the manufacturers. The dominance by Toyota, which it's great to see, you know, drivers like Martin Truex do well, but I'm not a fan of seeing one manufacturer, at least on the surface, look like they have some kind of advantage. So it's good to see Ford competing well. And again, they took the top three spots last weekend and took four out of the top six last week with Harvick, Keselowski, Bowyer finishing in the top three. Then you had Hamlin and Truex, the Toyotas, and then Logano back there in six. But it was really the Chevy struggled last week at Atlanta. You had Larson and Elliott there rounding out the top 10. But then you got to go back to Austin Dillon 14th, and then Byron, McMurray, and then Kane, and you had a couple other guys right there around 19th to 20th. But really, the Chevys, I mean, you look at the back half of the field, and there's a lot more Chevrolets in the back half of the finishers last week than the front half. And it's obviously, again, 2 weeks in, but something that people have taken note of this week, especially the Hendrick cars, you know, with their young contingent of drivers, plus Jimmy Johnson's bad luck so far this year. And you know, the whenever the 48 goes on a long stretch, when he doesn't perform well, he starts to get people talking. And believe it or not, this is the longest winless stretch of Jimmy Johnson's Cup Series career. He's on a 25 race winless streak, which is the longest since he's come into the Cup Series back in 2002, which is pretty amazing that that it's taken this long for Jimmy to have that. But even in his first season, driving for Hendrick in 2002, he came out of the box and started winning races early on in the season. So he is off to a slow start here with these two crashes, and he's also gone nine races without a top five. But we'll see if they can turn it around today, starting 14th. I mean, maybe they're not getting the good information from the 24 and the 88 cars like they would when Dale Jr. and either Chase Elliott or Jeff Gordon were in the 24 cars instead of Bowman and William Byron, although Bowman's, you know, been a simulator driver for the last couple of years, so I'm sure he's good at gathering data for them. But you wonder if they're maybe spread too thin here early on in the season, just trying to get their new drivers on the same page. I mean, Byron is a pure rookie. Bowman isn't a rookie. Some people forget that, but he's got, you know, a good amount of cup starts under his belt. They're with, you know, some of the BK Racings of the world. So this is his first major cup, full-time cup ride outside when he filled in the 88. but maybe they're concentrating more on getting those two cars off the ground and running. And also the 48 team losing a big piece of their team last year, or coming into this year with Ron Malik, who was Jimmy's longtime car chief, also not coming back this year as well, too. So, but I mean, still got Chad and Jimmy there, and whenever they put their heads together, they can go, you know, they're always going to be ones to watch. But still something to keep an eye on here early on in the season with the 48 car just struggling a little bit out of the box. I'll tell you what, I was watching the truck race Friday night, and first off, Stuart Friesen, what a phenomenal job winning a stage. How about the three-wide pass he made on, I think it was Grant Enfinger and Kyle Busch, the amazing three-wide pass to the lead, and then fending off Kyle Busch to take the second stage. Didn't get the win. He had a shot to win on Friday night, but had to settle for fifth while Kyle Busch picked up his 50th career Truck Series win. But the racing by the trucks there at Vegas on Friday night, I mean, I wish cup races looked like that on a mile and a half track. A lot of passing, and not just off a restart, too. It went on. They did eventually get single file, but you still had a good battle between two cars. It wasn't just the leader pulling away in clean air. But what an amazing stuff from the trucks Friday night, and I wish the cup cars could race like that in a mile and a half track like the trucks were, with so much passing, so much side-by-side racing, and that aero advantage wasn't as obvious, I guess, as it is at times, especially with the cup cars in the mile and a half. But it was a very entertaining truck race on Friday night. I didn't get to see the Xfinity Series race yesterday that Kyle Larson won, so I can't compare it to that. I apologize, but wasn't able to catch the Xfinity Series race yesterday. But I thought the trucks put on a heck of a show Friday night there on the mile and a half. And that's new for the trucks, of course, this year, going to Vegas early on in the season, as Las Vegas continues to be an important market for NASCAR. And now that they've got two cup weekends, that, of course, new this year, they will kick off the playoffs in September. Chicago has their date moved back into the summer, and Vegas grabbed a date from New Hampshire, as Loudon now only has one cup weekend. So Vegas gets two, their second will kick off the playoffs, and they're the only track that gets two triple header weekends when you've got Trucks Friday, Xfinity Saturday, and the cup cars on Sunday, of course. So that's the Vegas continues to be a big market for NASCAR. And they, of course, they do the banquet in December, but that may come to an end now that they've got two cup weekends. They don't want to oversaturate. Maybe they move the banquet back to the Charlotte market. But right now they've got three weekends where the NASCAR world converges on them. And of course, you know, Vegas, for obvious reasons, for the tourist attraction that it is. But it was pretty cool in Vegas this week. Of course, they had a big UFC fight last night. Of course, the Golden Knights. They have a big rugby tournament. So they had this big party. They called it a pep rally earlier in the week, and they did it over by T-Mobile Arena where the Golden Knights play. But they had a big sports pep rally involving NASCAR, the Golden Knights, the UFC, and the rugby tournament that was going on in there. So Vegas as a sports market increasing, and obviously they still have got the Raiders that are going to be moving in the near future too. But they continue to be a big draw for NASCAR and a very important market for NASCAR. And with the addition of the second weekend, we'll see if that stretches things out or if it's just a chance to bring in more tourists in different times of the year. This weekend on track will be a lot different, though, than the race in September. Today, it's going to be almost chilly in Vegas. Highs only in the 50s. It's been very windy this weekend. So you're going to see a much different race than we're going to see when the playoffs start in September, when it'll probably still be very hot in Vegas. You know, it could be well into the 90s for that race when they kick off the playoffs. But today's race, I don't think handling will be a factor, but certainly there'll be a lot of speed out of these cars with the cooler temperatures. With the Vegas being much cooler today, and with the wind and everything, and saw in practice earlier this weekend, we're hoping to get Nate Ryan here on the line here. Oh, we do have Nate. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, Derek. I didn't know you had him on the hotline. Let's go to the hotline and bring in from NBC Sports. Nate Ryan is on the line. Nate, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Great to talk to you again.
Pleasure to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me.
First off, did you make the trip to Vegas? I didn't pick up on that.
No, sir. I'm not in Las Vegas. I usually backload my schedule toward the NBC part of the season. So I will hopefully, almost assuredly, be there when NASCAR makes its second trip there for the first time in September, but not there this weekend.
Okay, I wasn't hoping I had to make you get up early to join us here this morning. But yeah, let's start with that. I was talking about that right before we had you on, the two cup weekends for Vegas this year, and it is a very important market to NASCAR, Nate, and they are getting rewarded with that second date to kick off the playoffs. What do you think about where Vegas stands in the NASCAR world?
Yeah, certainly it's gained in stature, Dave, this season, and a lot of that is due to the city of Las Vegas. The Convention and Tourism Bureau ponied up a lot of money to Speedway Motorsports and Las Vegas Motor Speedway to help make that happen. They really poured a lot of money into the race entitlement and the promotion around now what is two events annually in the Cup Series in Las Vegas. So, yeah, you've got the weekend now, and then you've got the one in September that, of course, is going to open the playoffs. And I think it'll be interesting to see, Dave, how the market reacts to that and how that impacts the complexion of the championship race. I think that NASCAR thought that Chicago, when they moved the playoff opener from New Hampshire to Chicago in 2011, I think they were hoping that event would have gained more traction. But for whatever reason, it just never did. I think a lot of that is due to the fact there's so many other things going on in Chicago in September, whether it be pennant races or football. So I think generally when you look at the track, I mean, certainly the racing at Vegas has been pretty good the last couple of days in the Truck and Xfinity Series. So we'll see how it goes today. But I think overall it looks like it should be a good move for Cup.
Just two races in here, Nate. Is there anything you've been able to take away from these first two races that a storyline that we might be following later on this year?
I think that today will be the big test, Dave. This will be the true barometer that tells us about where things stand for the Cup Series. There's been tons of stats and nuggets this week about how the finishing order of this race really is indicative of who the championship contenders are. And
sure,
I can't remember the exact stat, but the winner of this race, I think like five of the last 10 years has finished in the top 5 in points, something like that. Fords obviously were very strong in Atlanta and they look strong in qualifying on Friday. And a lot of people I think are surprised by that because there was a lot of chatter over the offseason that Chevrolet's new Camaro would come in with a lot more downforce and would come with an edge. But I would say like two things to that. One would be, if you look at how Ford's performed in Atlanta last year, they led 313 of 325 laps. Brad Keselowski won the race, and then Ford didn't win another mile and a half race until race number 34 in November. So I think Atlanta Motor Speedway is a little bit of fool's gold. I know a lot of people talk about Daytona really being not a great indicator,
sure,
but I don't know if Atlanta really is either as the second race of the season. And then the other thing I'd say is that, if you look at last year, how the Camry performed over the first 5 or 10 races, I mean, Martin Truex Jr. was great, but it took a little while, I think, for the Gibbs cars to figure out how to get the Camry handling to their liking. And certainly the last two-thirds of the 2017 season, that model was, I would say, at optimum speed and handling. And I think we're going to see that from the Camaro, but I don't think we're seeing that yet, except in the case of Kyle Larson. So much like Truex being sort of like first in class among the Camrys, sweeping both stages at Las Vegas last year, I think you could see something like that today. I think you could see Kyle Larson go out there and maybe run away from the field based on the way he's run so far this weekend, Xfinity and Cup practices and winning the Xfinity race yesterday. I think you could see him do well, really well today, and maybe the other Chevrolets from, say, Hendrick, maybe not doing as well.
Yeah, the Hendrick Motorsports, I guess you could call struggles here just out of the box. Again, like you said, it's only two races, and we still haven't gotten a true barometer what the season's going to be. But a lot of people are talking about the performance of the four Hendrick cars, Jimmy's bad luck in the first two races. I'm sure we'll get a better answer today, but is there any concern on the young guns over there at Hendrick Motorsports and how they're going to perform this year?
I don't think there's any concern yet, Dave, but I did ask Chase Elliott about this last week at Atlanta about, when would it be time for Hendrick Motorsports to make a true evaluation and, if necessary, possibly hit the panic button. And Chase made a really good point that probably not until, the break after Martinsville, probably until not 5 or 6 races in the season, because even if Hendrick found something this weekend that they want to fix on their cars, because of the way the schedule is laid out with these three races in the West in a row, it would be really hard for Hendrick to make a change on a car and have it ready for, say, Phoenix or even for Fontana, because so much of their cars are being prepared ahead of time and have to be on trucks heading out to the West Coast. You know, if they would have found something in Atlanta, it would have been very hard to implement something major for Las Vegas just because logistics preclude it. So I think that there are still a lot of questions, and based on practice and qualifying so far at Vegas, I don't think they've really been answered for Hendrick. You know, they went through an off-season restructuring in their competition department. They're building cars a completely different way than they have in the past. It might take a little while for results to come, but I'm sure there's some anxiousness on that team's part about when are we going to start seeing those results. And so far, three races in, I don't know if it's really evident yet.
Going back to the Fords, Nate, there was an interesting quote this week from Kevin Harvick. I think it was on his satellite radio show, but kind of commenting on how the Stuart Haas is getting better data out of the 10 car this year with Eric Almirola behind the wheel, and obviously didn't name drop the former driver of the 10 car, but it was very telling quote from Harvick. But I think that might be one of the things Ford has going for it this year is A, better data from the 10 car, and B, I think even though he drove a Ford last year for the Wood Brothers, Blaney with Penske this year, I think, has got to be a big boost for the Blue Oval group as well, too.
Yeah, I think both of those things are true, Dave. And you're right. I mean, Harvick didn't call Danica Patrick out by name, but that's not the first time now this year that we've seen some, I don't want to say, like, bitterness. I think there's bitterness on Danica's part a little bit about the way things ended. I don't think, like, she certainly dropped a lot of hints in the last few months that I don't think she felt as if she was fully supported by that team. And now we've seen a little bit of the sniping, I think, coming the other way. Again, not really forceful, like, name-calling, but there's no other way to read that Kevin Harvick quote other than Danica Patrick hindered us as a four-car team the last couple of years. And Tony Stewart told Bob Pockrass of ESPN.com at Daytona that he took issue with Danica's comments that he felt that she felt as if she didn't have full buy-in from the team. I mean, he made a point of telling Bob Smokevid that Stuart Haas Racing did everything they could, including making crew chief changes when she demanded it to try to improve her performance. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, now that the relationship has ended, I think we're seeing a little bit more of some ill will coming out about maybe what was actually going on behind those walls.
The bridges aren't burnt, but you may smell smoke, basically.
Yeah, smoke in the literal and figurative sense, yeah.
Nate, we're running out of time here, but real quick, your podcast with Jeff Gordon this week, just love listening to your podcast in general, but great stuff from Jeff on the sport and his career and everything, and just what a great addition. Not that we don't want him on the racetrack, but he's so great on Fox, and you could just listen to him talk about the sport for hours because he's a wealth of information and a wealth of talent.
Yeah, I appreciate that plug, Dave, and encourage everybody to check out NASCAR on NBC Podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Google Play, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts, you can find it. And, I was really happy with the way that episode turned out. I said this at the end of the episode. Jeff is the consummate professional, always accommodating, and just always a great interview. Beyond being available and accessible, he gives great answers. And I think he does a great job on the TV side. But, you know, talking about, as we did, Hendrick earlier, I think it bears watching, what his future might hold as far as Hendrick Motorsports. I think if he were to elect to go away from the TV side eventually, I think you could see him taking an even increased role in the competition of Hendrick.
And it got me to go back and listen to the one you did with Andy Graves from Toyota because of the great stories of them getting into the sport. I wasn't up on those stories as much as some people on their relationship early on and how they kind of broke into the business together. And also for the tie-ins to Super Modified Racing, Andy's dad, of course, we're not far from the Oswego Speedway.
Right.
I've been there tons of times. And just the great tie-in there, too. So it was fun listening to the stories from both sides about how they got into the sport and their relationship, how they were intertwined, and how Andy kind of led Jeff to come to Hendrick in the early 90s.
Yeah, and like a lot of things in racing, Dave, a lot of it was just pure happenstance that, you know, Andy's consulting for Hoosier Tire, and he goes to a midget race or a sprint car race or whatever it was, and gets paired with Jeff Gordon because that's where they were putting him, and that led to this fruitful career. But yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of listeners probably in your area who know Oswego and know the upstate New York racing scene would enjoy the Andy Graves podcast as well.
Yes, go back and listen to that. Besides the podcast, Nate, what is coming up from you and your colleagues over there at NBC this week?
You know, we'll have our regular NBCSports.com/NASCAR coverage, Dave, of today's race at Las Vegas, and then NASCAR America this week. Chris Avoda, Kyle Petty, Dale Jarrett, NBCSN daily at 5 p.m. Check out the daily show there.
Very good. Nate, happy belated birthday, and thank you for the time this morning. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, I hope so, Dave. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Take care. Nate Ryan from NBC Sports. You can follow him at Twitter, at Nate Ryan. And, yes, find his podcast. Listen to the Jeff Gordon one. Go back and listen to any of them, really. They're all phenomenal. But if you're a fan of super modified racing and you know about Andy's dad, it's Fred Graves. I always get that wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Fred Graves. I apologize. How he was building race cars and working in his dad's shop as a teenager and then getting hooked up with Irish Saunders over at Hoosier Tire, and that led him to working with Jeff Gordon. Really cool stuff. So listen to both those podcasts if you're into learning about just the history of racing and how guys got into sports. Very fun listen. All right, when we get back, we'll take some of your phone calls, and also we'll get Michael Prince up from Watkins Glen International on board here in a few minutes. Talk a little bit about the Glen's big season coming up. That and more on Fast Track here on WGR. /11:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. One interesting little stat about Kevin Harvick: he's now a win away from a 100 career NASCAR National Series wins. That is Cups, Truck, and Xfinity combined. So he's at 99 after his two wins last weekend at Atlanta. So that would put him in the 100 win club. Only three other drivers have surpassed 100. In the all three National Series combined, of course, Richard Petty's 200 wins in the Cup Series, David Pearson, who's at 104 Cup Series wins. Then you've got Kyle Busch, who's got well over, I think it's like 184 in the three series combined, including Friday night, he picked up his 50th career win in the Truck Series, and now he's two away from breaking the all-time Truck Series win record held by Ron Hornaday. And then now Harvick sitting on 99 with Cup, Xfinity, and Truck. Cup, Xfinity, and Truck combined. It's a pretty cool stat. Obviously, different generations when you compare the Petty Pearson versus Busch Harvick, but I think stats are fun, and it's still a nice accomplishment when he gets to 100, and really looking forward to the day to see Kyle getting all 200 career National Event Series wins and just watching people flip out when they try and compare to Richard Petty. It'll just be funny to watch. Let's go to the hotline and bring in from Watkins Glen International the president, one of our favorites here on the program, Michael Printup, is back with us. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. B. How are you today?
Doing well, sir. Happy NASCAR season once again. Back at it. Speed Weeks was a couple of weeks ago. I'm assuming you were down there for some of the fun, and it was another great start to the season for the folks down there at Daytona.
Yeah, no question about that. We probably had the best weather I've seen since I've been in this sport. It was 75 to 82 every single day. It was great. Great race. Great event. Nice to see Austin bring that win home.
Very great start to the weekend and great event for Chip Wile and the folks down there at Daytona, another grandstand sellout. And it has been a busy offseason, to say the least, for you and your staff down there at Watkins Glen. A lot of big news coming from the Glen, and let's just start with some of the good news, and that is you've got a title sponsor for your Cup event already. It's going to be the GoBowling.com at the Glen this August, and that's some exciting news for you guys.
Yeah, it really is. Go Bowling and the team, you know, it's all about the promotion of bowling. And as you know, in our hometown of Buffalo, or my hometown, our hometown, you know how popular bowling is. And it's the marketing arm. They've been making their rounds. They were with our racetrack in Kansas last year. So we were able to pick them up for the next 2 years. Just an awesome team of people. And, you know, how synonymous it is with bowling and NASCAR and racing as a whole. We're lucky to be partnering with Go Bowling.
And I know one of the neat activations they do at some of the other events, like at Kansas, is they set up a bowling alley right there in the Midway, don't they?
Yeah, they're going to be bringing in, I think it's three lanes they bring in, and they'll be bringing it right in on the right dead center, like you said, in the Midway. So I saw it in Kansas a couple of years ago. That's when we started the conversation with them, and we look forward to doing some bowling in the middle of August right at the racetrack.
And that kind of fills the void. I know last year when Kellogg's and Cheez-Its pulled out, you guys were scrambling to find a title sponsor last year. You wound up calling the event the I Love New York 355, and that went off well. But obviously, having this you know, you don't have to worry now about having to find that sponsor like you did last year. I'm sure that's just one thing you can check off the list and be relieved about.
Yeah, no question about that. That's always a pretty big void to fill. And like you said, we started talking to Gold Bowling literally 2 years ago. In 2016, we started talking to them and just started seeing what we could pull together. So, yeah, it helps fill. And now we can continue, obviously, the normal scheme of business, which is just keep selling tickets and go for our fourth in a row sellout for NASCAR. So we look forward to, obviously, a bright, sunny summer here in West York.
Yeah, we could use it after last summer. One other big change to your schedule this year is after two seasons, the IndyCar Series won't be returning to Watkins Glen. I was there for both events. The first year was great weather, great walk-up. And then last year, I think I said to you, I felt like I was walking to a Bills tailgate with the weather that it was. What happened there between you and IndyCar, and what led to the decision of not returning in 2018?
Yeah, we had a 3-year deal and with us and IndyCar and Jay Fry, the president, and we just sat down after last year, and you know, Labor Day was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the weather was killing us last year,
yeah.
And it just wasn't a good show. I mean, and Jay Fry and myself and our team, we only put on the best. So Jay asked, why don't we consider, getting out of next year, meaning 2018. He asked, and I said, you know what, let's sit down and talk about it. We did. We came to a resolution to terminate our contract.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and his group were just super people, and we just kind of stood up at the table, shook hands, and we still stay in touch. We still chide each other on social networking, and but that's the guy he is to have some fun, and we promised that we'd get back together in 2019 and start talking about the future, because it's all about dates.
Mm-hmm.
Date equity is something that we need to rearrange, and get it off that Labor Day would be the only way we'd come back. But it's too bad. I mean, IndyCar belongs on that racetrack. They're the fastest, most high-performance vehicle that can get on there. The talent is bar none. You know that I'm personally just a huge fan of open-wheel racing. So we'll move on. And like you said, Jay and the team are awesome, and it's not like we walked away not being friends. We walked away being just as strong friends as how we started.
When you say talking to them about 2019, is that a 50-50 deal, or is it, what kind of a chance will it be for them to come back in 2019?
Yeah, no, we wanted to start, because they have long-term schedule commitments, we wanted to start talking in 19.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully looking at maybe 2020 or 2021.
Gotcha.
Because of their schedule commitments. So that's what we have to get around. Jay and I tried really hard to move it to 2018, but between the two of us, our schedule with our other racing and his schedule just across the board,
yeah,
we just couldn't find a date that worked for either one of us. So that's why we said we'll go 2020, 2021, but start talking to 2019. It usually takes a year or so to work out these things.
Yeah, I understand. I was looking after you guys made the announcement and the talk about possibly switching weekends. I was kind of comparing their schedule and your schedule, and really there's only like 3 or 4 weekends where you guys both had an opening, but one of them was like the weekend before or after the Cup race, which obviously you wouldn't book. So yeah, you guys didn't have a lot of options to move it around. It was pretty obvious.
No, they didn't, and they even threw out, could we join IMSA, which we didn't think that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
We want a product like IndyCar. It's too well known, and mm-hmm. it has the same scenario. We didn't want to merge two greats to be on one weekend. So, like I said, we'll move on.
Some other big news coming up. You guys just made a big announcement this weekend, this past week, and you've got a concert coming back to Watkins Glen. I know there's been some memorable concerts back in the day at Watkins Glen, but you've got a pretty big one coming this August.
Yeah, for the third time, we're going to host Phish, and they're bringing back their festival. Now, they only do festivals every 3 to 4 years. This will be their 11th festival since they've joined as a group. It's 34, 35 years they've been together, 32 years, somewhere around there, that they've been together. And we've hosted, after 2018, we'll have hosted 3 of the 11 festivals. So it's all Phish. They perform somewhere between 7 and 9 shows. We've been working on that for about a year and a half to get them secured and get them back in. And like you said, they made an announcement Monday. They called me yesterday. I was hanging out yesterday. The VP of Fish called and said they, because they just went on sale Friday and they had a record sale day on Friday. So they sell their own tickets. We don't we don't sell them. We sell all the races, but we don't sell that one. And they said they had a record sale day, so it was good to hear the good news coming out of the fish camp.
And that'll be August 17th through the 19th over there at Watkins Glen. The event is called Curveball, featuring the band Fish. So without getting too much into the details, you just kind of lease it to those folks and they run everything, or because they you said they sell the tickets, that pretty much you just kind of open the gates for them, or how much are you involved with that event?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, me and the senior management are involved in the process, but yeah, they lease the property from us for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We just ensure the integrity of obviously all of our systems, meaning utilities, and make sure everything's up and running for them. So we're kind of standby assistants for them, but
yeah,
they do a great job, and we've done it twice before, so this is the, like I said, this is the third time we're excited to have fish back.
Michael Printup from Watkins Glen International joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. Well, Michael, the one thing that I've been dying to talk to you about since you guys made the announcement in late January, it's gotten a lot of buzz on social media, but tell us about glamping during NASCAR weekend at Watkins Glen. What is glamping?
It's awesome. You know, it's I'm walking around Daytona 500, obviously a couple of weeks ago, and I bump into Clint Bowyer, and he just looks and snaps his head, and he's like, "How the heck is that glamping going?" A couple of words in there, but he said, "Man, that's awesome, man! Like all of us are talking about that." And I'm like, I told him, I said I'd save him one. We're gonna set up an area behind Turn 11, which is the right near the Bodine Grandstand, in the Argentinger Grandstand. So, and it's in those big tall pines. We're going to fence it off, scrim it off, so it'll be a private area.
Mm.
We're going to put 30, 40 of these very elaborate tent systems. And then they come, you know, they have beds in them that you can choose whether you want queens or doubles, so you can put more people in them. It includes race tickets, and it includes a lot more, which we're not going to tell everybody yet.
Okay.
But there'll be some common area. There'll be some fires. Rumor is there'll be some drivers that come over at night. you know, we only rumor, Dave. Only rumor.
Sure.
But you know, we're gonna have a lot of fun with this. So it's just, all you got to do is bring your pillow and your sleeping bag, and you're gonna be set up and ready to rock and roll for the weekend. And we'll provide the fire pits and the lounge chairs and the comfy couches and the lazy boys. We're really gonna do it up in there. So it's really just a good small private area. I think we're only doing about 30-35 tents this year.
Mm.
They're big tents. It's not like what you see in the cots are off the ground. And like you said, just makes it easy to drive in, get your tickets, and then like said, tickets are included in the price. And just have a good time. It's 5 nights. So you come in Wednesday and you leave on Monday. You don't got to pack. You don't got to set up. You just throw your sleeping bag and your cooler back in your car and zip on down the road. It's all set up for you.
It seems like that's how I would want to camp out at the races, Michael, because as I like to say, for me, roughing it is standard def television. I'm not much of a camper. So glamping sounds interesting. Those are on sale right now, Michael?
Yes, sir. They're on sale for the Winefest and NASCAR only. We're not doing them for IMSA yet. But we've almost sold out for Winefest, which is obviously in the middle of July. But NASCAR has a little bit to go. I think we're a little bit more than halfway on NASCAR, which we expect to sell out. And again, we want to just educate everybody, get them going. We've had some of the tents there on display last summer just to show the fans. So it's going to be fun. And Dale Jr. even, he tweeted about it.
Yeah.
A couple other, Brad Keselowski did. So we got some pretty good attention with that.
Speaking of Dale Jr., last thing here, Michael. Obviously, he'll be at Watkins Glen, but he'll be working for NBC. He won't be driving for the first time in quite some time. How much do you think that will impact ticket sales for you this year with this first year with Dale Jr. as a broadcaster instead of a driver?
You know, just Dale being a supporter, obviously, and I mean as an owner, and now being in the broadcast booth, I mean, he did a wonderful job in the past when he jumped in and out. I think it's going to be great for us. Dale has really become a Watkins Glen lover over the last couple of years.
Sure.
I think when he realized that he wasn't a huge wheelman of the road track, he'll be the first one to admit it, but road courses, I mean. But it's something that Dale... he loves this area. I know he does. I hope hopefully he's up to the certificate of trip, but I think Dale will do wonderful in there. Ticket sales, I think they're already way ahead of last year already, so maybe we'll give the credit to Dale.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 2,000 tickets ahead of schedule from last year, so
Say
we look forward to our next sellout already. We're getting pretty darn close already, so Dale will just add to the excitement.
Excellent. That's great to hear, Michael, that you guys are ahead on ticket sales. And you know what? As I always say, one of the great aspects about the Glen event is I think the camping and the party aspect is such a great draw. While if people love to come to watch the races, they also like to come and have a good time, and Watkins Glen is one of the best places on the circuit to do that. Michael, thank you for the time. I'm sure we'll talk again soon before the sale in 6 hours. And, real quick, opening weekend next month, folks can come drive their cars on the track next month to kick off the season at Watkins Glen, right?
Yeah, we always do that. That's obviously our big opening, which is always a lot of fun. The best thing about it this year is, real quickly, is that we're going to buy a $50,000 wheelchair for a young man that lives in Syracuse. Zippy, Greg Zippidelli, introduced us to him years and years ago. He and his family have been a part of every race weekend since then. The kid's getting bigger and older. He's 17. He graduates high school this year. And we look forward to it. He needs a new wheelchair. That's the only way he can get about. And so all the funds that we raised this year are buying him a new wheelchair. So they're pretty expensive. Like I said, it's just under $50,000. But we know that between us and some of our fans, we'll raise that money and get that boy a new chair.
That is opening weekend, April 14th and 15th at the Glen. You can drive your personal vehicle on the racetrack there for a donation to charity. Michael, thanks for the time. Last thing, Tim Packman and I want to say thank you very much for helping bring Global Rallycross to Lancaster Speedway. Thank you for the connection there, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
You got it, Dave. Thanks a lot.
All right. Michael Prince up from Watkins Glen International and theglen.com for more information about all their events and lots of exciting stuff over there at the Glen. Glad they're doing well on ticket sales and all the other fun amenities that they have at the Glen. All right, when we get back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. Still time for some of your phone calls, 803-0551, 888-552-550. We get back here on WGR. WGR 1154 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan wrapping up this edition of WGR's Fast Track. Don't forget, we will have live flag-to-flag coverage of today's Pennzoil 400 from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Coverage coming up at 2:30 this afternoon, courtesy of the Performance Racing Network. And green flag just after 3:45 this afternoon. By the way, last week, totally shocked NASCAR got the race in Atlanta. We were talking about the weather last Sunday and would they have to race Monday or Tuesday even, and they got a window. I think the race started about 3:45 Eastern a week ago, and they got it in, got it done, and got the whole thing in. Didn't have to worry about cutting it short or moving anything to Monday. So huge for them that they A, got the window, and B, the Air Titans once again doing their work for them as well too. And that rough racetrack at Atlanta, it looks almost like they're racing on gravel when they show the up close shots of the pavement. And but they're still not sure if they're going to repave it or let it go for another year there at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Today is, of course, the Oscars are on tonight. So speaking of awards, I'm nominated for an award, and you can vote on it over at speed51.com. By the way, great website for coverage of short track racing around the country, including here in the Northeast. But they have a little online voting awards thing, and it's called the 51s, and if you go on their website, you can find the banner to click on the 2017 Speed 51 Awards. I am nominated for Short Track Announcer of the Year, so I would appreciate your votes. Today is the last day of voting, so I'm up for Announcer of the Year. Tim Packman from Lancaster Speedway and Joe Skynicki from the Race of Champions are both up for Promoter of the Year. George Scora is up for Short Track Bad Boy. He, Tommy Catalano, and Tyler Ripkema are up for Most Improved Driver. Matt Hirschman is up for Short Track Driver of the Year. Andy Jankowiak's up for Best Social Media. So if you got a moment today, head over to speed51.com and vote for myself and also a number of the people that are connected to local racing. Also, Lake Erie Speedway is up for Best Racing Destination. I think that's a really cool one they came up with for hosting the Race of Champions. And also the Race of Champions weekend itself is up for Best Event as well, too. So be sure to check all that out over at speed51.com, and we appreciate your votes. I know it's a big popularity contest, but I think it's still be cool to win. I finished second or third last year in voting, so I just want to, if I get it once, then I'll never ask again. but would appreciate your votes. IndyCar starts up next weekend. They kick off their season at St. Petersburg, and they're looking pretty good this year. The sport is very healthy. They've got a lot of full-time teams signed up for this year, and also some part-time teams, but driver-wise, the sport looking really healthy. They've got the new cars rolling out this year. The new chassis look phenomenal. So I think IndyCar has got a lot of momentum going forward, going into this season, with just the enthusiasm and behind the sport and just the involvement. Everything, numbers are up. So obviously not on the level of NASCAR attention-wise on the national sports landscape, but still things are really healthy, I think, in general, despite them not coming back to the Glen, which is disappointing. But they filled that weekend, and I believe they're headed out west now on that Labor Day weekend. I'm going to check that really quick. Let's see how fast I can scroll through their schedule. Yeah, Portland. They're going to be in Portland Labor Day weekend now instead of Watkins Glen. But good to hear Michael Printup, if you didn't catch it. The door is not closed at IndyCar. They're going to talk to them next year. They've got some contracts up with weekends, and maybe 2020 or 2021, the IndyCar will come back to the Glen for a third time. I believe that'll be the third stint. They had some in the late aughts, and then they had the last 2 years, and maybe they'll come back for a third stint. If they get the right weekend, it could be huge. I mean, the first Labor Day weekend, the weather was great, so they had a huge walk-up crowd. It wasn't like a NASCAR-sized crowd, but still a healthy crowd. I talked to folks from the Glen. They were happy with how it went. And then last year was just a bust, you know. Like I said, it was like going to a Bills game. It was rainy. It was cold. And it didn't make for a good show, and it obviously not as big a turnout. So if they can find the right weekend, it is difficult because you've got the Glen's already got so many events between the Cup weekend and the Salem 6 Hours and their big vintage weekend and the wine festival and everything else they do there throughout the year. You know, they don't have a lot of openings along with IndyCar, but if they can find the right weekend, I think it would be a big hit. And it's a fun, if you want to go to an event at the Glen, but you don't want to deal with the crowd or spend the money to go to the Cup race, go to the Salem 6 Hours, or when IndyCar comes back, go to that, because you can get real up close and personal. Every ticket's for IndyCar got you into the paddock and everything, so you could see everything, and definitely a great fun weekend. Luckily, we still got plenty of options here in Western New York to see IndyCar, with Toronto and Pocono and Mid-Ohio and even Detroit if you really wanted to. So many IndyCar dates are just a few hours away in a car to go see. So they kick off their season next week at St. Petersburg. We'll talk more about that then. Enjoy the race today. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.